Hey, Michelle, how much did you love Noah in this episode?
On a scale of 1 to 1, not even 1.
How about a scale in 1 to always? Is he the same as you always hate him, or is he worse?
He gets worse all the time. There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you. And it grows, and it grows, and it feeds me like it's never fed me before. All the time. I don't think he can, and then suddenly he does.
Michelle, you gotta just say what you mean.
Yeah, I'm definitely so. But this whole thing, there was not a lot of people to like in this episode.
All right, Michelle, I liked Max.
No,
this is the West Coast Project podcast for The Affair, and it's episode 209. Michelle, there are, what, 3 more? This goes to 12?
Or is I thought it went to 14.
Oh. Ooh.
Maybe.
That hurts. Ooh. Oh. Okay. 209, though. And this one begins a little differently, Michelle. We don't get the part one character name. We just get the designation 12 p.m.
Okay, right. So in this episode, are we supposed to believe everything we see since
everything.
It's not coming from, you know, any one person's perspective? This is just
no
what
idea.
Happened. Okay. Well,
no
that's
idea.
How I took
We've never seen this before. How the hell should I know the answer to that?
I don't know.
It's just times. It's just people acting and the times of the day
right.
that they're acting. It's Allison in the kitchen and 12 p.m., 12 noon.
Yep.
Then we jump right. She's not in the kitchen for long, and we jump right. Anything important
we hear,
about that?
Well, yeah, we hear on the radio that Hurricane Alex is coming through, and we also hear that it's March. So there's been 4 months that have passed since our last episode.
Ooh, sounds dramatic.
Yep.
She's 5 weeks before her baby's due.
Right, and she's she's doing that. I was kind of wondering why she's got that whole refrigerator. You know, this perfectly sparkling refrigerator, everything taken out and set on the counter and everything. But I guess she's doing that nesting, right, that you do right before you go into labor where you go
now,
around
how
and you
the hell would
clean
I know that,
things.
Michelle.
I don't know.
Well,
you
don't
go around
say
and you clean
right.
things that don't even need to be cleaned, just getting everything in order.
It's the way you said it. So she's doing that nesting, right, Mike? You know the way you do it, right, when you're pregnant?
You know what I mean.
All right, and then we jump right to Helen. Helen's waiting for her Tinder date, and we see her time is 1 p.m.
Right.
So let's do some quick math. Michelle, 1 hour. 1 hour later.
Yeah.
Helen's waiting for a Tinder date at the bar, and the waitress sets her straight that Tinder is more for millennials, not for old people like you.
Yep.
But luckily for Helen, Martin's doctor is pounding whiskey at the bar, Michelle.
Well, he's on call. What else he gonna do?
He flirts with her and wants whiskey for a gift. He wants more whiskey, not wine. Can't get drunk on wine.
Yeah, he not fast enough. Right? He was. Wasn't that weird?
Yeah. Can a doctor drink whiskey while he's on call like that?
You're definitely not supposed to have alcohol when you're on call as a medical person.
So that's a little airline pilot-y, right? You're supposed to be kind of clean and sober for at least an hour or two before your shift starts?
I would think maybe even more than an hour.
Well, I know.
Or so.
I'm being
yeah.
smart. But, yeah, it's
yeah.
like 12 hours probably or 24 or 48. But he flirts with Helen, asks her for a date, and she tries to leave. And so we see the storm coming there, too.
Right.
Now, everybody's getting sent home, Michelle. Pretty unlikely in real life that a place of business is going to close down and send people home. You don't send people home as adults from public places like bars and things.
Well, you would if they're going to close. The manager wanted to close.
Yeah, unlikely. Unlikely to close a money-making operation in real life. Maybe in a school, maybe in a resting home, like a daycare center or something, not a nursing home, a daycare center.
Okay.
Somewhere with children, but you don't send people out of paying customers out of your business, I don't think, too usually. So they go out on the street, Helen and Ula, Dr. Ula.
Uh-huh.
Helen's playing pretty hard to get.
Yes, she is.
This is where she comes up with that stellar line that we heard last week. A date is just an interview for sex, Michelle.
That's evidently what it is, yeah.
Okay, well, she's so not so hard to get. She has sex in the basement with this guy 5 minutes later. And then right after that, she and the doctor are in the kitchen, and they converse with Martin about his problems, his medical. Does he have some sort of a digestive problem?
Yeah, was it? I can't remember if he had Crohn's disease, I think, maybe.
By the way, Michelle, no hands get washed before Helen starts fixing snacks and water glasses and everything.
Thank you for noticing. Really.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
I really do. I really do.
Dr. Ulla gets a call from somebody, the hospital or a patient, and he reassures him about the backup generator. So that's a pretty heavy hint that there's a big storm coming.
Right, but then he gets off the phone and he calls the woman, the mother of the girl who has her, whatever's going on, she has to have machines for her kidney function. And
dialysis?
The mother's, I don't know. He didn't use that word, but I don't know, maybe. And so the mother is, of course, concerned, and he's a pediatric doctor, we're assuming. And he calls her an ugly name and says she's, what, a needy bitch or something when he gets off the phone. I mean, he's horrible. And then Helen doesn't know what to think of him. And I thought that was a pretty interesting.
Well, he's pretty good with Martin after he's off the phone. I mean, he's snide behind her back. At least give him credit for that.
Yeah.
So they talk about the shots Martin has to get for his Crohn's, Humira,
mm-hmm.
something like that. And Helen doesn't do very well. She gives him the shots with shaky hands.
Right.
But, Michelle, the secret is warm shots in the stomach. Sounds great, huh?
It don't sound like a lot of fun, but there's some tricks to giving injections, so.
So Helen and Dr. Ulla talk about feelings and the feelings that the heart has, and he gives her kind of the medical spin that your heart has no nerves to feel anything. Like, ha,
well, yeah.
Ha, funny, dude. You're really funny.
But she asked him, are you a nice guy that acts like a jerk or a jerk that acts like a nice guy?
I think the word is dick, Michelle.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to say that.
You're like Jamie. she goes to her room and cries, and he follows her. Now, dude, you can't follow people around their homes like that when they're... I know you just had sex with her in the basement, but your territory is the basement, and that you're not allowed to go into other rooms.
The basement and the kitchen.
That's my rule.
That's it. Okay. Well, okay.
All right, we get more hints of the storm, and you can hear the rain pelting the windows outside.
Right.
Now Helen's complaining about having four kids, being all by herself, and how she hates being a mother.
She said sometimes she felt like that.
Sometimes,
yeah.
She says that. I hate being a mother sometimes.
She says sometimes I think I hate being a mother.
Interesting that later on we hear Allison saying, I don't want this baby. So we hear motherhood getting kind of rejected.
Yeah, you definitely hear that with women in labor a lot of times. That's not an unusual thing to hear.
And now Ulla gets a Tinder message, the doctor.
Yep.
He's such a clod. I mean, Helen attracts these guys that are just dicks. He's a jerk.
Yeah, I couldn't figure him out either. I couldn't figure out if he was a nice guy that was just being a jerk or if he was a jerk being a nice guy. I couldn't figure it out either. So it was
a
good
question.
I figured
it out. He's a dick. He's a jerk.
Okay.
He does give Martin a shot, though. It's the secret to shots is... Michelle, ice, pinch, and then shot.
Yeah, warm it up so it's not cold, and then ice the area to numb it a little bit, and then pinch the skin before you give it.
Is that how you gave shots?
I didn't do a lot of stuff. I did some. No, not usually all that, but, to a kid, I guess you would maybe do that.
When you worked at heroin shooting gallery?
Oh, no.
All right, more unwashed treats to the kids, Michelle, popcorn and drinks. And Ulla finally heads to the hospital, but he kisses Helen's wrist first.
Yeah, he did. That was kind of like this really, tender move.
Tinder, that's a good Freudian slip.
Oh, yeah. Helen tells him he can stay and wait out the storm, and he takes the time to peek around the corner at the kids, stops, and says, I'd rather drown. So,
yeah, he's a real prince with kids.
Yeah.
Michelle, did you like this episode or not?
No, I really didn't. I didn't like the episode. It went by really quick, so it must have been interesting to me to see it. But like I said, I mean, it was hard to like. I like Helen. I'm a Helen fan. And it was hard to like her in this because she was impulsive with him, which, I mean, you know, who's going to really throw a lot of blame her way? But then she says that about her kids. And, I mean, you know, she's just kind of talking out loud. But then she's crying over Martin. And I don't know, she seems kind of weak and seems, I don't know. She's just not the strong, handle, capable Helen that we know.
Well, so she's human. I didn't have anything to gripe about with Helen. I hated Noah, and I did not like Allison in this one either.
No, I didn't either. I didn't like Allison. I didn't like Cole again.
What about Max?
I haven't liked Max ever, I don't think.
Clooney? What about Clooney?
I like Clooney.
He didn't even show up. I caught you.
Well, all right, Michelle. But what about Whitney?
Whitney's okay. Whitney was a dream, though, I think.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, we'll get to Whitney. God, okay. Whitney. She's been nothing but trouble. She's nothing but a pain in my ass this whole series. All right. Painfully pregnant Allison, though. This was hard to watch, Allison. She's suffering this pregnancy all alone. She's 5 weeks premature having this baby. She calls Noah the first time out of, like, what, 174 times?
About, yeah.
And then she calls the hospital. She finally goes into the hospital. But, I mean, Michelle, can a lady stop a baby from coming?
No.
Okay. They make it look like Allison is stopping this baby from coming and putting it in peril. Because she wants to wait for Noah before pushing out that baby.
Yeah, you can, I mean, I cannot imagine that could happen.
It's bad storytelling, right? You can't do that. Can you put a baby in peril by not helping push it out?
Well, yeah, you could, but if you're not medicated, which they were showing her unmedicated, then your body kind of does that involuntarily anyway. I mean, you know, it's not really something that you think, I think I'll push this baby out now. It just kind of is what your body does. So.
Can't you just give me a straight answer, Michelle?
I was trying.
Can you stop a baby from coming out? Or put it in danger by not helping it come out fast enough.
Yes, you can put a baby in danger by not helping it, but I don't think you can do that as much if you're not medicated. If you're medicated, if you've had an epidural and you can't feel anything and they're telling you to push and you're not pushing, that can potentially, you know, if the baby needs to get out because heart rate's dropping, which is what they were showing, then, yeah, you got to push. You got to just do it, whether you feel it or feel like doing it or not. But if you're not medicated, your body's going to just kind of push on its own. So I don't think you could do it in that situation.
All right. Well, Allison is a pretty cool doctor. This Dr. D'Amato is pretty cool. She's helping her not only with her medical needs, but she's kind of supporting her, giving her some encouragement.
Yeah, she's a great doctor. I mean, it's a lot of times it's the nurses that are in there. You know, you don't see like the doctors hanging out with the patients that much time. But maybe it was just like her and nobody else in the hospital or something.
Yeah.
Although I don't know.
With Allison that kind of is storm, doing something pretty dopey by making this doctor try to reach Noah at some point, though. I don't want her doing that. The doctor's got to do medical stuff.
I don't. Yeah, that was something else that I had to call her out on. I do not see the doctor spending a lot of time trying to make a phone call. I mean, why can't Allison make the phone call?
I don't know. She's busy holding in a baby. All right. The next card we see, title card for this next part of this episode, is 7 p.m. And it's Noah and Eden. They arrive at the party. It's the producer of Noah's book, Into a Movie House, I guess, right? Producer?
Right.
Callahan. What's his name? Callahan?
Rodney Callahan.
And first of all, Noah and Eden together is kind of cringeworthy. Eden's all dolled up. I don't like Eden as dressed up as she was in this episode. I liked her. She had too much makeup on, I think. She looked. Okay. I know she had plenty of makeup on earlier in the other episodes, but she looked really overly made up.
Well, I mean, she looked like she was going to the kind of party that she went to me. But this party was crazy, right?
George Clooney's supposed to be there, supposed to meet them, and he wants to go to meet Noah. Noah, like a dope again. Everything he does is fairly borderline ridiculous, Michelle. His phone is under his seat, and he can't reach it to get to it, so he just gets stymied by it, right? He can't overcome that problem, can't, like, open the back door, reach underneath, and get the phone out in 1 second.
No, I know, and it's like Eden's not wanting him to do that either. You know, she's like, it'll be here when you get back. Come on, there's people waiting. And, I mean, he's got a pregnant, and Allison's his wife now, right? Because we hear him say a couple times, your husband. We haven't seen them get married, so I'm not sure. Okay.
They go into the party, and Callahan greets them, and Noah's the star of this party. And Callahan overly praises his book.
Offers him coke.
Your book is high art and fucking, a combination of high art and fucking. No other writers who can't do this are pussies. You're a great writer. You're the best now. You're a man of letters. You know, everyone's looking up to you. Yeah, and gives him coke.
He loves the mess he stirred up. He's the voice of his generation. I mean, it's some pretty high praise for Noah.
So, but Callahan doesn't like the ending to Noah's book where the lover gets run over and wants more romance. That's Noah's original ending that his editor made him change.
Yeah, and so Noah pitches his, I don't think it was his original ending. I think in his original ending, he killed her, and then he changed it to them sitting together and having an unimaginable secret. And then Harry made him change it back to him killing her again. But Noah pitches them sitting together and having an unimaginable secret, and Rodney Callahan loves that ending.
Sounds like you've read this book, Michelle.
I know. I want to read it now.
All right, good news. Max is there.
Oh, gosh. What on earth?
Max rushes in and insults Rodney Callahan in like 4 seconds, not knowing he's sitting right there.
Yep.
And then Max goes in for the coke. Max is way out of line here, Michelle. He's making directorial suggestions. Noah just tries to throw him out finally. You're screwing up my deal. You're fucking up my deal. And Max reminds him that he gave him $50,000.
Yeah, that was pretty, you know, low class to do that, don't you think?
Well, it's kind of...
I mean, you don't do that. Come on, you don't do that.
It's leaving a hook somewhere where you shouldn't leave it and pull on it later. It's like either give me the money, and he called it a gift at the time. Like, no strings, here it is to help you. But then he's, now, of course, there are strings.
Well, but he was doing it because he wanted the
divorce.
Severance between Noah and Helen, but still, I thought that was really tacky.
Yeah, publicly. The intern kid tells everybody the roads are about to be closed, delivers the message.
Right, they need to leave if they're going to leave.
This intern kid was kind of like the bartender saying, all right, everybody has to go home. I mean, he stops the party to tell everybody the roads are about to be closed. I don't know. I didn't buy it. Noah does more coke. Noah and Needham do shots. They dance. But Michelle, no Clooney. It's too stormy for Clooney.
Yeah, I missed Clooney. Maybe next time.
He's smart. He's the only smart one in this whole episode. Stayed home.
Okay.
Noah suggests leaving, and Eden suggests staying, and she emphasizes that by grabbing his crotch. His crotch.
If you stay, why don't you stay and see what happens?
And then she grabbed him down there, right?
It looked like something went on, yeah.
We get to hear the intern again now shout that the roads are officially closed.
Right.
So kind of heavy-handedly portray the storm, I think. This is like the fourth or fifth reference to it.
Right.
Noah and Eden make out / dance for a little bit.
Yep.
And then Eden says, meet me in the guest room in 15 minutes. And our genius Noah says, why do I have to wait 15 minutes? okay, Michelle, now then he drifts around, he swims, he sees craziness at the party.
Yep.
For Christ's sake, can't you sit your ass in a corner for 15 minutes and just chill out a little bit? He can't be out of action for like 1 second.
Come on, Mike. It was 15 minutes. He had to kill it some way. What was he going to do?
He killed it, all right. Slaughtered it. Somewhere along the way, he sees the book An American Dream by Norman Mailer.
Yep.
And then in the pool, this is where I got a little bit lost here. He sees a girl who looks like Eden, or was that Eden in the pool?
No, I don't think it was Eden. I thought he was picturing Allison in the pool.
No, it was a dark-haired girl.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, I mean, everybody's hair is dark when it's wet, but I don't know. I kind of got the impression that he was picturing Allison when that went on, but who knows, because he's all smiles and, I mean, naked, and everybody's naked. It's very hedonistic.
Well, he's all effed up. He's all screwed up. So, yeah. But they made that girl look like Eden. They made that look like Eden, where you had to say, is that Eden or is that someone? It was a question.
Right, but I don't think it was.
So why do you think they made that ambiguous? Is the ambiguousness a clue somehow to the murder mystery?
In what way?
Like, we're not sure. Was that Eden or was that somebody else? Was that? I think there's ambiguousness about what happens in this car accident / murder.
Okay. Yeah. That
comes up again too. I think I made a note again. And also, Michelle, you'd think a guest of honor would be more discreet at his first party with his producer who's going to turn his life's work into a movie and not tear off all his clothes and jump in the pool?
Yeah, it was bizarre.
The first party? I mean, am I just square or is that not cool to do that?
Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know if you are or not, because I'm probably more square than you. But, you know, doing coke, getting drunk, smoking whatever was in that bong thing that girl handed to him. He's just so messed up. He's going to go meet Eden now somewhere. He gets naked. He's naked around other people. He's kind of being intrusive with other people, like getting a little close. And I don't know. I mean, it was definitely weird.
All right. So are you going to tell me that you think this girl is Whitney for real because she's there with Max?
No, she wasn't there with Max.
He jumps from the pool to the hot tub, and he sees two girls making out in the back of one girl's head.
Right.
To him, so he can't see who she is. She turns around, and it's Whitney.
That was Whitney. She's screaming, Dad.
Dad, get your naked ass out of my naked ass's hot tub with me. And he runs out to escape into the storm. So was
they had
that
already
really
brought up that, yeah, they had already brought up with Helen that Whitney had left with, was it that girl from college that she had met before, Christy or something?
No idea.
Yeah, because Helen asked, is Whitney gone? Is Whitney still here? And Martin had said, no, she's left with whoever.
The girl who she met on the street and kind of walked away from.
I was thinking that's who it was, but I wasn't sure.
So how would they get into a producer's party like this?
I don't know.
What's the common?
Maybe that has something to do with the photographer or something she was talking about. I don't know. I mean, we can only guess. But
so
that was Whitney.
You're dismissing that he just illusioned her into the scene?
Completely dismissing it. I didn't think that for one second.
Why?
Because I just didn't. I mean, I believe that she could have been there. Why wouldn't she be?
Why would she be is the question.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, it's definitely coincidental, but I didn't
think. Yeah, it's too hugely coincidental to even entertain it, though. She has nothing in common with a movie producer's party.
But it wasn't just movie producers. No, it was models, though, remember? The guy turns around and he says, it's a whole room full of models, or Max, I think, maybe, he says, it's a whole room full of models. So why wouldn't Whitney be there?
Maybe. I guess that is a line of connection, I guess. So they brought it up before.
But her screaming, you know, Dad.
Well, she doesn't want a naked dad, her dad,
well, course,
in the pool. In
of course
the
she doesn't. But that's the point. I mean, if he had just seen a girl and it looked like Whitney and she had screamed at him, fine. But she's screaming, Dad. That had to have been Whitney.
Well, then,
and
then that,
like, everybody
why,
stops
why
and
I
looks.
Question, why does that other girl look like Eden?
Now, that's a good point, too. But, you know, the other girl didn't call herself Eden or you know, say, why didn't you meet me upstairs or anything. I don't know. I thought it was Whitney.
All right, so Noah runs away. Would Noah run away from Whitney, or would he go, hey, what the hell are you doing here? Naked in a... I mean, he just runs away from her. Is she old enough to be left alone like that?
She was 18 is what we found out. I don't remember how, but somehow in this episode we found out she was 18.
Sorry.
That's okay. More infomercial?
No, it's my iPad giving me... Give me a DraftKings update.
Oh, okay.
All right, Michelle. So he grabs his keys and runs out, grabs his keys from the valet over the protestations of the valet master.
Is that what they're called?
Whatever, that dude holding the keys. And first of all, what's he doing outside guarding the keys when nobody else is out there? Just to remind Noah that the storm has closed the road?
Okay, Noah is so messed up, and he's going to get behind the wheel of a car on closed roads. I mean,
he's a dumbass, Michelle. Here, let's keep score. One, he's driving. First of all, with his driving, gets stuck in about 200 feet from where he starts.
Right.
His phone, he can't find his phone, and then he finds it in 1 second after he's back in the car.
Right.
His drug
use. And
he
doesn't even try to call Allison. Can we say that, too? They point out later on that a lot of the phone lines are down and stuff, but we don't even see him try to call Allison.
Michelle, I'm trying to do a list here.
I'm sorry.
His drug use is just like rampant use of cocaine. His activity with Eden.
Right.
His swimming naked at the first party he's ever been to with these important career people that are going to make or break his story, his movie, his book, all that.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll take my clothes off and jump in the pool. I mean, how many things else did he do wrong?
Did he do anything right other than lead Max away?
Oh, well, there you go. That's a better way to even look at it. Yeah, Max. God. Running away from Whitney without even trying to figure out what's going on. What if she's in trouble? What if she's at a wolf's party with drugs and he knows there's coke and 18 is not old enough to drink?
No, it's not.
You don't run away and leave your daughter like that.
No. No. Right. I know.
All right, Michelle.
I know,
Allison.
But he's bulletproof, I think. I think he feels really bulletproof. I think they're showing him just... Because, I mean, he's completely out of control.
He's a chucklehead. All right.
Okay.
Allison's hurting Michelle. We made a note of that before. She's hurting. The power flickers on and off at the hospital. She's basically tormented. She asks the doctor to keep trying to call Noah, like we said. That's crazy. And the doctor reassures her, you're not alone. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you.
Right.
All right. But now we get the total relief and comfort of being able to watch Louisa and Cole. And Louisa and Cole are introed via the title card, 11 p.m., Michelle.
Yep.
All right, Louisa's talking about her ballet and her childhood and her experiences with that, but Cole's not listening. He's zoned out away from poor Louisa.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing her best. She's doing a little dance in front of him, not like a dance, but a, you know, dance, and he's not even there with her.
If I like somebody in this episode, I like Louisa. Doesn't take any shit from Cole. She's pretty straight. She's got a good head on her shoulders, except for being with Cole. And she seems like a pretty good character. I like Louisa.
Yeah, I don't think there's much to dislike about her.
Not only that, there's a lot to like about her. They start talking about Allison selling the house and Louisa getting it ready. It's doing stuff that Allison should be doing, but I guess she's not because she's pregnant.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of wondered. I wondered if she didn't get some kind of pass because of her pregnancy. I mean, she's not going to be able to be out there moving the furniture and stuff that Cole seemed to be giving her grief over, right? And that Louisa had to kind of take over, or did, accepted that responsibility and took it over. But I don't think we would expect Allison to be doing that at this point. So I didn't really
Louisa's
understand that.
Louisa's just being nice. She's just chipping in and helping Cole.
Sure.
And maybe even helping Allison, because if her house is for sale and she needs to get it ready, she's
right.
Getting it ready is helping both of them. All right, well, she says, "Hey, Cole, baby, how about I thank you for all that work I've done?" And Cole says, "Sure, baby." And they start having sex, but then, Michelle, no condom.
That's right.
And Louisa says, "No problem, it's okay." And Cole doesn't even ask why. He just keeps going. And after sex, they try to figure out some of their life's problems, Michelle. Where do we live? What do we do next?
Yeah, he just doesn't care. He doesn't care.
He's kind of a drifting soul at this point.
Yep.
Louisa asks Cole if he'd live in the city. And he says, no. And later on, he qualifies it. We'll figure something out. You know, I don't see myself living in New York.
Yeah, but he's not doing anything to make her life easier. They just kind of told us everything that she's been doing to make his life easier and the responsibilities she's been taking on. And now she's got some job. She's going to be working on the weekends. Montauk's a long way. And, you know, I think she's kind of asking him, what are you going to do to make it easier on me? And he's like, yeah, nothing.
Michelle, I can't sit here and let you badmouth Cole.
You say this every week, usually about Noah, but...
He shows her the woodcuts on the wall of Gabriel's Grove when he was a little boy and suggests that they might do it someday for their own kids, Michelle.
Yeah.
And then Louisa
breaks that piece of wood.
She breaks the news to him that she's infertile.
Yep.
And she tells him about her medical problem. And while she's telling him about her medical problem, he zones out on her again.
Oh, I know.
You hear her voice kind of fade away, and he's like, hazy, woozy, or whatever.
Yep.
Now, Michelle, do we really need... I like Louisa. She's beautiful. She's easy on the eyes. I like watching her. But do we really need this side affair of Louisa and Cole? What's the point?
Well, a couple things. First, we have to know that Cole's doing something, right? I mean, we have to know that Cole is existing while all this other stuff's going on. We see Helen's part, so we kind of have to see Cole's part. But number two, the main thing about it is that Scotty was killed at Cole's wedding. So we had to lead up to Cole's wedding, I guess, in some way, right?
Yeah, I guess. But Scotty could have been killed at whatever, the 4th of July barbecue. It didn't have to be... You don't have to put a relationship on Cole just so he can have a wedding, just so Scotty can be somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I'm very hopeful that they're going to tie it all in together and we're going to see why.
So you're saying Luis is the murderer?
No.
Interesting, Michelle. I would have never thought that.
No, I don't think that.
All right, now I'm picking on poor old Noah.
Although she didn't like Scotty either. We do have to point that out.
I'm picking on Noah. I'm going to pick on Cole here now because Cole's an idiot too. He starts to complain about being cursed. Now, this is so weak and stupid, Michelle. Why are they even doing this? My grandfather's cursed. My ex-wife is cursed. Our kids will never have the family continue. My mother. And the only good thing about this was Louisa calling him on this bullshit. You're so fucking dramatic. You blame your mother, ex-wife, grandfather. Good for you, Louisa. I love
that. Yeah. Yeah, she had a really good point with all that. I think that the reason he reiterated that story that we heard last time with Cherry is because it's going to make it a big deal or, you know, a bigger deal that Allison is actually having his baby or their baby. You know, it is a Lockhart baby. So that would mean more, kind of, in the face of, you know, but it's so silly anyway. I mean, Cole's going, there'll never be another Lockhart baby. Well, Scotty's not even married. We don't know if Scotty's going to have kids. Mary Kate is young. She miscarried, but I mean, it's not like she said she's infertile or anything. And to automatically assume that there's going to be no more Lockhart children is just ridiculous.
Cherry's still pretty randy.
Well, I don't know if Cherry counts, but
well, I like that Louisa calls him on this and then leaves. Like, I've had enough of this shit. You're just being dramatic. All right, Allison, go back to Allison struggling. I don't want this baby. It's not fun to watch her be this way. But so, by the way, Michelle, who is this? I know you just kind of hinted at it being Noah's, but whose baby is this? Did we ever decide for sure?
I don't think we're supposed to know for sure, but I'm willing to bet that it's Cole's baby.
How much are you going to bet?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we can legally do that anymore, can we? I mean, is this like fantasy football or something?
Let's do a little math on Allison. So it could be Max. It could be Oscar.
No. Allison didn't. You always think Allison had sex with Max. I'm doing every guy in the show. Oh, okay. She didn't have sex with Max, I don't think.
Martin?
Mike. No.
Martin's Callahan.
A child. Who? No, stop. We know that it's...
Could be Oscar.
I don't think it's Oscar's.
I didn't ask who you think it might be. I'm saying it could be. Oscar had sex with Allison. I'm just joking around about the other guys, but he did have sex with
her. But that was a long time ago.
How long does it take? 9 months short of 5 weeks short of 9 months.
Yeah, she wasn't with Oscar then, unless they're not showing us something. But, I mean, you know, they didn't show her with Scotty either, but they've kind of insinuated that she might have been with Scotty.
Well, there you go. Prosecution rests.
Oh, okay.
In other words, we have no idea who this baby is, except you think it's Cole.
Yeah, well, I mean, they showed her with Cole, and then she did not go back to Noah after that. She tried to, kind of, you know, and she went to stay with Athena, and when Noah got there, she told him she hadn't had sex in 6 weeks. So Cole was the last person. Of course, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, doesn't have to be the last person. It just has to be the person when you're ovulating, you know. But still, I mean, it just seems like it. My guess is Cole, still.
All right, Michelle, Cole's drinking moonshine from those jars. He can't get the wood off the wall, Gabriel's growth markings. I mean, come on, you meathead. Use a tool. The guy's a carpenter, right? He's like a ranch. He runs a ranch. You try to pry that off with your bare hands. Get a chisel and a hammer and chip it off.
Yeah,
or I would pry think bar would or screwdriver.
Right.
You dope. All right. We get a bunch of scenes together. Allison and the baby. Cole in the storm. Repeat. Cole sees Gabriel.
Yeah, but right before that, when he's sitting there and he's really drunk, but I didn't know if they were just bleeding the scenes together or not, but it was like he heard Allison scream. Did you notice that?
No.
Yeah, honestly, go back and watch that part, just that one part, because it's like she's, you know, screaming. She's making birth noises, and he's sitting there with his head in his hands, and they fade to him, and you can hear her scream, and it's like a ghostly kind of scream, and he looks up. It was really weird, and it was right at the same time that he sees Gabriel, too, so it was really weird.
I don't think I'm going to go back and watch that, Michelle, but okay, I'm glad you recapped it for us.
Okay.
Cole does see Gabriel come into the water with me, Daddy. So maybe they are connected because that's the baby being born and Gabriel's being born back into his memory or whatever. Allison has the baby. It's a baby girl.
Yep.
Cole tosses his drinks, breaks and spills alcohol everywhere, breaks the glass, fire. So what's that meaning? Birth and death, birth and fire. Ending of one thing, starting of another thing.
I don't know, but we definitely had like the signs, right? The fire, water,
earth, wind, and fire.
Yep,
they did that. They were playing in that club that one time. All right, now the baby and Allison are really peaceful when Noah finally shows up, but Allison makes him wait, and the nurse gives a great eye roll when she hears that Allison doesn't want him to come in right away.
Yeah, the doctor.
All right, the doctor. That was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, woo, what do we got going on here?
Yep.
But I liked Allison making this idiot wait and not come right in. I'm so happy to see you. And Allison,
I thought they made it look like Cole was still in the house while it was really about to burn down. Did you think that was different?
No, he was standing there with fire all around him through the windows like he was being bathed in fire while this baby... Right. This beautiful scene of Allison and this baby were peaceful. Birth and death, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he doesn't die, though. But
how do you
I
know?
Would have worried, well, because we see him afterward, but I would have worried about him being, you know, not surviving that if we didn't, you know, if they hadn't flashed forward from there and we saw him meet up with Allison and the, you know, year and a half year old baby in the courtroom or whatever.
Maybe his corpse is reanimated.
Oh, Mike.
Anyway, so Allison and this baby, Allison looks the most beautiful ever, certainly for this episode. She looks very beautiful. Finally, she looks at peace and she looks very pretty. She looked horrible all the way through this episode except for this point.
Yeah, it's rough having a baby.
Then it ends. That's it.
That's it.
All right, Michelle, so what do you got for the final conclusion on this? What are you gonna? What's your final opinion?
You know, I didn't really mind the fact so much that they didn't do a personal perspective, but I thought it was actually okay the way they showed Helen and then Noah and then Allison and Nicole and, you know, everything like that. But, geez, they have got to give us something. I mean, we got to have some people to root for in this. And, I mean, I feel sorry for Helen, but like I said, I mean, she's the closest I can come. And I just feel bad for her half the time.
Yeah, so Michelle, we do our podcast for The Affair and for Fargo together. So we were just arguing or discussing how many episodes. I think we were talking about Fargo. I'm pretty sure The Affair has 10 episodes. So there's only one left.
No, I think it has more. One of them had more. I think Fargo has 10, right? Am I wrong?
Well, I'm looking at the Showtime episode guide for season 2.
Okay.
And it shows 10. Although this might be last year. Hold on. Season 2. This is season 2, right?
Yeah.
Shows
of Fargo,
10.
You said?
No, for The Affair.
Okay.
I mean, maybe there's more, but there, let me look up Fargo.
I'm seeing 10 for Fargo, too.
Well, you're the one that said there's 12.
I thought there was 14 for some reason of The Affair.
Yeah, there's 10 of Fargo too. The palindrome is the last one. I don't know okay. Where you got 14. I don't know if I've ever seen a season of 14 episodes of anything.
I don't know why I thought that. Maybe I'm thinking of, I don't know. Orange is the New Black or something. I don't know what I'm thinking of. Because, yeah, that...
I don't know if you can hear that typing, but I'm looking.
Yes, I can hear the typing.
Let's see if Wikipedia tells us after it asked me for a donation.
Did it? I don't think they've ever asked me for a donation.
It does say 12 episodes in season 2.
Of what? Of The Affair?
The Affair, yeah.
I don't know.
All right, Michelle, so there's more to this than just one more. We haven't seen Jeffries in a while, too, the cop.
No, not since the very beginning. The detective, they
Maybe
showed him.
Maybe he's the father. That little black baby comes out. Oh, she's not, though. Never mind. Scratch that theory. I'm wiping it off the chalkboard right now. But we got 3 episodes left, and something's got to give.
Yep. Yeah. Well, but it doesn't. I mean, it's not an anthology. It doesn't have to end. So.
Well, it certainly didn't end after season 1. We didn't even see any answers.
No, but I'm really they got to give us some answers with this, though, right? I mean, they
like
have
what?
To.
We talked about this before, too. If they tell us who ran over Scotty, what do we got left for season 3?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff left, you know? I mean, that's not the whole of the draw, right?
What's left?
Well, I mean, we like the affair, the situation, what's going on. I mean, we got to find out why Helen's so invested in Noah, right? Because she's not with him at the time of this trial, but she went so far as to take the baby's pacifier to take it to the attorney to find out who this baby belonged to and stuff. I mean, what's going on? We see Helen and Noah sitting at that game together? I mean, are they back together?
I think that's just evidence, though, to help Noah out.
Yeah, I think so, too. But why would she go to that trouble? She's paying for his attorney.
They better not make a whole season out of that, though. Come on.
No, that's what I'm saying. I really want to know something. I want them to give us something at the end of this one. They can't leave us hanging. This whole season couldn't have been... I mean, what have they really told us this season?
All right, Michelle, if somebody out there can, for any reason in God's good earth, answer that question, how would they reach you on the internet?
I'm at Michelle from TN.
And I'm at Scathing Tweets on Twitter. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your handle there, Michelle.
Sorry, that's
Michelle
okay.
From TN and at Scathing Tweets. Either one of us can answer or deflect.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. All right, Michelle, you got any final thoughts before we plunge into 210 next week?
I don't.
You're going to refill your jar of whiskey and go back to work?
My moonshine?
Yeah, moonshine.
Yeah, I'm going to try to avoid that. But
what is moonshine anyway? It's not whiskey, right?
I don't know. I think it's its own thing, isn't it?
Just like grain alcohol, just pure alcohol. Seems to burn pretty good.
Well, yeah, he didn't have a whole lot of trouble catching that on fire, did he?
He didn't seem to be feeling much pain either, so he's burning from the inside. But that house is not going to bring any money now if it burns down, unless it's insurance money.
Yeah, it was... They had just talked about that, he and...
Louisa?
Yeah, they had talked about that. He said, should I take this piece of wood off the wall? And she said, yeah, they're just going to demolish the place anyway.
That doesn't mean you can burn it down and still get the $500,000 or whatever you sell it for.
Well, can you not? I don't know. I mean, because they were just, of course you can't just do whatever you want to do. It didn't belong to him anymore, but they just wanted the property.
Yeah,
right?
The bulk of the value is probably in the property.
Right. They were talking about having to demolish it anyway, so it might even, I don't know, eventually save them some money. But remember, Cole said he wasn't going to take any of the money anyway.
Well, and he's Allison burning was up only Gabriel's giving money. Height marker.
Oh, I hated that, right? I just didn't like that at all. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand Cole. Like Helen, she talks about her pain kind of maybe too much, meaning she talks about it even with this Dr. Ulo that she just met and had sex with in the basement while their kids were, you know, upstairs. And on this very uncomfortable-looking floor, too. But,
you know, sex in a basement is not a good start to a relationship.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. I wouldn't think, although who knows? Who knows in this show? They may end up being...
No.
You don't think?
No, nobody's going to have a good relationship with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, right there he's getting a tender...
Helen offers a lot in a relationship. I think Louisa does. I don't think Noah does. I don't think Max or Oscar or who's the dad, who's Helen's dad... He's
Bruce.
A creep. None of those guys do. But I think Helen could. I think Louisa could.
Yeah, Helen is this great person, right? And she's got this family, and Noah has just walked away from it. I was talking about it with the family after we watched it, and it was like, you know, you feel sorry for Helen, but really, when I can get beyond my disgust of Noah, I really feel sorry for Noah. Because Noah has left everything good behind, and for what?
Well, Noah would have cheated on Eden, if he could even call it cheating on Eden, if he found another girl in that hot tub or a party. He was ready to go left and right. Couldn't even wait 15 minutes for her.
I know.
He's a dog. He's a horn dog.
Yeah, he's really bad, and he doesn't even know it.
Go easy on him, Michelle.
Yeah, Mike, I'm not going to let you talk bad about Noah the whole night, so.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Michelle, I think we said goodbye five times, so this is it.
This is really good vibes.
We'll be back for 10 and maybe even 11 and 12 if they exist of the affair on West Coast Project.
Okay.
All right, see you then.
See you then, Mike.
Bye.
We took the slow way.
Oh, do you love me?
What am I supposed to say?
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
This, probably. How about you?
I've done a lot of things. We
fell into the night. Sometimes the way you love somebody, it can change.
I don't want her anywhere near my kids.
Your mom and I, we're getting a divorce.
Why?
That's very complicated. How have you been, Allison?
I don't think you should be here. I think you should leave.
Tell me how to sleep.
How? What's going on? This is insane.
Why are you being so awful?
I just thought maybe I could come up here and bring you your stuff and maybe clear the air.
You have failed.
I know I did. Stop it!
I think we're making a terrible mistake.
Don't say that.
Other people's lives are at stake here besides your own!
I want nothing from him.
At a certain point, fate takes over a story. And even the author himself loses control.
I didn't kill Scott Lockhart. We gotta find out who did.